This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 472, recorded on Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016. It's a little show about technology and ministry. We've been doing it for 7+ years. And,
try that 8+, almost 9 full years. You know,
the mathematician among us keeps us up to date. 7+ is an accurate statement, is it not?
Well, yeah, if you want to be technical. Yeah.
Greater than 7 and also greater than 8 would apply. And the voice on the other end of the microphone, that southern drawl that you've heard for many episodes, Sally Draper. Not living in the South anymore, but we appreciate the southern comfort that she brings to the podcast.
Yeah, today's a day where maybe I wish I was living in the South. I actually have my granny blanket on my lap because it's chilly in New Ulm, Minnesota. But it's also a day to give thanks because this is Thanksgiving week, Martin.
It is.
And I thought it would be a good time to talk about something that we don't normally talk about on the show. And that's kind of the other side of our jobs with the Synod Technology Department and how thankful I am for the things that we're doing on that side of things. Many people probably are familiar with the Synod Yearbook. We have a print version. We have a great online version. And I think 2016 will go down in history as a year where we made huge strides in improving our data models and the data that we keep, and also improving the way that we reach out to called workers to update their data. Many people who watch the show are probably familiar that they fill out forms and give us updated data on a regular basis, and now we can do all that online. And this was the year that we made that major breakthrough. And I want to just thank you, Martin, for your vision for that and the fact that we've improved a lot this year with Synod technology.
And thanks right back at you, because you are our data queen, are quickly becoming our data queen, and kind of making sure that it's accurate as humanly possible, and together, along with some other great folks working on these tools, hopefully every year we'll get a little bit better. The whole point is to make our office as efficient as possible and make it as easy as possible for our call workers and Synod membership in general to communicate with us, and that's what that's the plan. So a lot more work to do though, but we're having fun, I think, along the way. So
yep, I'll just make quick mention, Martin, that I am hearing a little echo now that we got going with the podcast, so if you can adjust for that, then we have other things to be talking about regarding Thanksgiving this week, and specifically a recent interview we had with Pastor Andrew Schreer, who is behind 364 Days of Thanksgiving, a popular blog and also a book by that title. And we had the chance to talk with Pastor Schreer from down in warm Texas, and he shared a little bit of the story behind the site and the book and how it is having an impact.
So let's take a listen to that interview, and then we can come back and regroup and talk through some of the things that he shared with us.
Joining us today on Wells Tech is Pastor Andrew Schreer. He's the pastor at Redeemer in Edna, Texas, and also the author behind a popular book these days, 364 Days of Thanksgiving. Welcome, Pastor Schreer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. It's Thanksgiving week. We thought it would be great to figure out what 364 Days of Thanksgiving was all about. Maybe we'll start with having you just introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about where you're serving and hobbies and things like that.
My name is Pastor Andy Schreer. I'm a pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Edna, Texas. I've been a pastor now for 17 years. Served congregations in Mexico, in Miami, Florida, now here in Texas. My beautiful wife, Clarissa, I met when I was in Mexico. I have two children, a little girl, Isabella, who's 12, and Andy, who's 8. And really, as far as hobbies are concerned, I spend a lot of time either with my family or at church or writing. I do a lot of writing. So.
Awesome. Exactly why we wanted to talk to you today. So fits well. We understand that 364 Days of Thanksgiving, the website, the book, and maybe some newspaper writing as well has been around for a little while. Maybe you could give us a little bit of the backstory of how it all came to be.
Well, there's actually two backstories, really. The book itself came about a few years ago. I got a phone call on a Saturday morning. It was a gentleman whose wife had been connected to our English classes at our church. She was from Mexico. And he was in tears. His wife had tried to kill herself the night before. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I would go visit her. So I barely knew them, but I went and visited her. And because of language issues and so forth with in our area, they couldn't find good counseling for her. And I offered to sit down and talk with her, but I felt a little overwhelmed. So I called a friend, Dan Namundson, who's a clinician at Wisconsin Lutheran Child and Family Services. And he gave me all kinds of great advice. But one of the things he encouraged me to do as I was sitting down with her was to have her keep a notebook by her bed. And every morning when she woke up and every night when she went to bed, she needed to write down one thing that she was thankful for, one blessing in her life, one good thing. Because when we get depressed, oftentimes we put blinders on and only see the hard times. And the only catch was that she could never repeat. It always had to be something different. And she started doing that, and we got her some of the counseling and even medication she needed. But the thing that she always said meant the most to her and made the biggest difference was keeping that journal next to her bed. And that got me thinking that that might be something I could share with other people. And so we started talking about that in our church, especially around Thanksgiving. We had a few people start doing that on a yearly basis, and people found it so helpful. I decided to write a book about that and share that it's a very simple idea, a simple concept, but helping them see and recognize all the good things God has done for us. Because so often we forget, we put blinders on, we don't see all the amazing things we have every day. And then that got tied with a quote I read as I was working through it by Charles Dickens, the British author. He once said that we as Americans have it all backwards. Instead of spending one day giving thanks and spending the other 364 days whining and complaining, he said we should spend 364 days giving thanks and that one day to whine and complain. And I kind of played off of that a little bit and twisted it for the book concept.
Very interesting. Can you give us a little kind of preview into the format of the book? Now, apparently, for those who don't have it or haven't seen it, there's apparently a place to journal, you know, that morning and evening kind of thing. But what ties that all together? What's the content?
It's a short little book. It has three chapters which talk about what being thankful really is all about and how that thankfulness shows itself in our lives, especially focusing on this idea that to be truly thankful and the secret to overwhelming thankfulness is to see all that God has done for us and to recognize we don't deserve any of it. So it's a little primer in being thankful. And then comes the journal part, and it has a place to write down every day one thing for which you're thankful, but never repeating. And then it has periodically a number of devotions that will help people think about these things and think about some things maybe they hadn't ever thought about that right. That are blessings from God.
I love that concept of not repeating, and I'm guessing that many others do. I'm curious as to what kind of response you've gotten from all of these efforts and people using your book and visiting your website, things like that.
Well, we've gotten a very good response so far, but it's been out for a year now, so I'm actually starting to hear back now as people are finishing up their year of Thanksgiving. And I found a number of people enjoying it. Some didn't stick with it, or some have been on and off, and that's one of the things that with this book is it's not something that should burden your conscience. And so even if you miss a day or two, whatever, just that habit of writing it down and thinking about it and saying thank you to God, many people have found helpful. Share with you one story. This is from a lady in our church who who had been doing this before the book even came out, because she had lost her husband to cancer and then lost her 40-year-old daughter to cancer within a year and a half of each other. And so she started doing this, and she's been doing it now for about 3 years. She has notebooks piled up in a little stand next to her bed. And she says that when she really starts feeling sorry for herself or gets down, she'll just pull those out and read through all those things in her life for which she's thankful. And she said it's really been one of the greatest tools to help her get through her mourning and her sadness. And I always think what a wonderful thing it will be one day when her kids find all those notebooks and they page through them, and what a witness of her faith. And also, I'm guessing they're going to find their names in there. And there's just so much good that can come out of just taking time every day to think about it. And force ourselves to think of something new so that we don't, it's easy to say, yeah, God's been good to me. I've got all kinds of good things. Thank you, God. But to really focus on individual blessings.
So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned some of the benefits of this concept of journaling, which, you know, maybe for Lutherans is kind of a newer concept or a foreign concept, although for many, maybe not. What is it about writing it down versus just thinking about it and meditating on, you know, what you're thankful for? What is it about writing things down that's so beneficial and can be a blessing?
Well, there's really two things about it. First of all, they've done studies. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the studies have shown that if you write something down, for example, if you're planning on doing something, if you write it down, you have a much better possibility of doing it. Mm. And writing it down makes it more concrete for us. It allows us to really think about it, and it sticks with us a little bit longer that way. But then the other blessing, especially when it comes to this journal, is then you have it there and you can go back and look at it. You know, it's called 364 Days of Thanksgiving, and the last day isn't for whining and complaining like Charles Dickens said. The last day is actually for going back
celebrating
and reading through your whole list and seeing the amazing blessings God has given you that year. And it really is, it's such a simple thing, but it can be a very eye-opening and encouraging thing in your life as you grow in your faith to recognize what God has done for you.
Definitely. Here at Wells Tech, we're particularly thankful for technology and the ways that it's allowed us to share the good news in new and different ways than it existed in the past. And I'm just curious if any of your Thanksgiving-type posts have any technology strands to them.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because, there, you know, we mentioned at the beginning that I have my book, but then I also have a blog that I have. And that came about, I've for a number of years now, I've written a weekly devotional column for the faith section at our local newspaper. And a couple of years ago, that article, that column, got picked up by another paper and then another paper. Now it runs in five different newspapers here in Texas. And pretty soon people started asking if I could put that online. And that kind of coincided with the book, which was going to be coming out. So I started my blog, 364daysofthanksgiving.com. And that has been a blessing in many ways. First of all, just by sharing God's word, we've got, I think, 1,500 likes or followers on Facebook. We've got almost 7,000 on Twitter. It's been in existence for about 2 years now. We're approaching 150,000 views for just a small little blog. Just once a week, I put a devotion on there. But it's an opportunity to share God's word and to spread it as, you know, as much as we can with as many people as we can. And it also has allowed me the opportunity to let people know about my book as well.
We've talked a lot about blogs on our Wells Tech podcast over the years. Certainly a discipline required. How do you keep yourself motivated to do that each and every week? How hard is that for you? Is that something that's coming naturally for you?
That it's pretty hard, actually, because one, you know, everybody gets excited when you first start a blog and you want to put stuff on all the time. But after a year or two, to come up with, you know, they're all short little devotions, 500, 600 word devotions. But the thing that keeps me going is because I have this weekly newspaper column. That it's a syndicated column. I need to get it out. But it's also, for me, it's a blessing. I'm sharing God's word, and I don't, you know, I get letters and people walking up to me on the street in our local town and the neighboring city who see my picture in the paper and can read my column. And it's just a wonderful blessing, and I don't know how that happened, but I am allowed now to share the good news of God's love with a lot of people through print and through my blog.
Wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious, what's next? Do you have plans for a follow-up book or just continuing your blog or anything like that?
Well, I'm going to continue with my blog. That I don't know how long I'm going to keep doing that, because that is a difficult thing to keep going and to keep stay with that every week. But I'm going to keep going with that for quite a while. I may follow up with another book with 364 devotions, the daily devotions, and then having an opportunity to write your thankfulness. That's probably going to be coming in the future. The publishing house has approached me. I actually have a book that I'm working on right now, which is a little bit different. It's called The Messy Relationships Book. And it's part book, part journal again. And it's the idea is it's going to give encouragements, biblical encouragements, about how to deal with problems and issues in different relationships as married couples, as parents and children, interpersonal relationships. But then it's also going to have activities you do, and the activities you do will mess up the book a little bit. Pages will be torn out. Things will be pasted in there. And just like our relationships in life are sometimes messy, the book is going to get messy as we deal with those messes in our lives. So that book is going to, God willing, come out at the end of next year. And I've got a few other things batting around in my brain, but who knows if they'll ever come to fruition.
Exciting. God's given you a lot of opportunities here. We mentioned a lot of resources. We should probably let our listeners know how to find that stuff. Where do we find your stuff?
Okay. My book, 364 Days of Thanksgiving, is available at Northwestern Publishing House, mph.net. It's also available on amazon.com. My blog is at 364daysofthanksgiving.com. Those are the two resources. We'd love to have you stop by my blog, maybe like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, just as an opportunity to share that good news of God's love with more and more people.
Great purchase probably on Black Friday to start the new 364 days off on the right foot. So,
well, one of the things I tell people is pick it up for Thanksgiving for yourself, and then you can give it to somebody else at Christmas, and they can start the new year off right.
Perfect. Perfect. Great resource. Thank you, Andrew, for sharing your ministry and your work and all the blessings that have resulted, probably both for you and your readers. It seems like a wonderful journey that you're on there. So, and thanks for taking the time with us. Really appreciate that. Blessings on your Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you, and have a very blessed Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Our thanks to Pastor Schreier. Thank you. In certainly a busy season, embarking on Thanksgiving season and then Advent. I'm sure he's got his plate very full, in addition to all the things he was talking to us about and in his book. So we'll have all the links that he mentioned in the show notes, so you can get access to direct links to the book and to the blog and all that good stuff. But just a great reminder, Sally, to slow down, to think about the many blessings. And if you can write down a blessing a day for a year and then do it again and again, you know you have a good God.
Oh, definitely serve a good God. And that's what this holiday season reminds us of. But I love that idea of being mindful of it every single day. And one thing in particular that Pastor Scherer focuses on in his book and in the stories he shared with us is the fact that journaling can really help you to be reflective of those kinds of things, to be intentional in writing a daily journal. And certainly his book is a great way to do that. There's also tech-friendly ways to journal as well. Martin, right. I think you're familiar with some of those.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about this in the past. I recommend for you iOS users or Apple product users a product called Day One. That's one of the prettiest journaling apps, and that's kind of part of it too. You want it to be a pleasant experience when you journal, and Day One is nicely designed and very easy to use. It's available on your smart devices. It's available on your computer. They don't have a web interface, so that's why it's kind of Mac and iOS centric. So if you're one of the folks that use those products, this would be a tool that would help you along your journaling path. If you want to be a little bit more agnostic in the platform, Diaro or Diaro, maybe it's pronounced, is one that I've also used, and that works across both Mac and Windows as well as the web. So kind of wherever you are, it's not quite as elegant, not as nicely designed, but it gets the job done. And the whole point is to make it as friction-free as possible to get your thoughts down, to include pictures. Both of these apps include location mapping, so, and sometimes temperature mapping, and you know, even heart rate you can add to some of these tools. So you can kind of capture the moment wherever you are and whatever you're doing, and that's the whole point of a diary per se, and then journaling is just kind of a subset of that. And then maybe the last tool that would be in the conversation would be OneNote, and I've made that a pick of mine in the past as well. OneNote is a Microsoft product and something that I'm in every day. I have my prayer list there, I have my personal goals there, and then many of the things that we do at the Synod level are captured in OneNote for projects, for planning, for documentation. We had a big offsite meeting a couple weeks back when you were in town, Sally, and we used OneNote to capture kind of all the planning for that and all the stuff that went on in the meeting and then the collaboration. So these are just really great tools, regardless of which one you pick. But the whole point is to get in a regular habit, get something that's not going to get in your way, that's going to provide the tooling that you need to be reflective, to think through the thanks that you have, to document it, and everything else as well. So these are great tools.
Definitely. The OneNote screenshot shows it up on an Apple Watch. Have you brought OneNote up on your Apple Watch?
I have not.
Okay.
Well, there's the integration there.
There's a challenge for you. You got to try it now that we've seen that. So let us know.
It's amazing that Microsoft has these products that perform so well on Apple products just in general. 5 years ago, that would have been absurdity. But now Microsoft is seeing the need to meet everybody where they're at. And some of these apps that they're putting out are extremely well done. OneNote I've used on the iPhone a lot and on the iPad as well. Works really well. And it has a nice interface, very reliable, syncs everything. And these are apps that really beg to be on mobile devices, kind of in your pocket or purse or wherever, so that you can capture that stuff. And OneNote is a good example of that. So
maybe Thanksgiving is a day for you to start journaling if you aren't doing it currently. And certainly you could read along Pastor Schreier's blog at 364 Days of Thanksgiving. I think he said he publishes those weekly. Maybe that'll, help you to continue to think of thankful things. And we certainly encourage you to take that challenge if that's something that you aren't doing currently.
Very good. Sally, we should probably move along. News and tech. Now, this is probably something I'm very underqualified to report on, and maybe you have a little bit more experience, but in the world of Snapchat, apparently there's big news, and that's that they've unveiled a set of sunglasses. Not just any sunglasses, mind you, but sunglasses that have a camera on them. $130. They connect to your smartphone and your Snapchat account. We'll include a link to a Verge article in the show notes. But apparently this is another input tool that you can use in addition to your camera on your smartphone, but here it's right on your glasses. Pretty cool. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it is cool. It says it has a 115-degree lens, so pretty close to accurate field of vision.
Very wide angle, right?
Yeah. You can go live so many different ways. Why not let people see it right through your eyes? So looks like all you have to do is touch the glasses to press a button to start recording. Very cool.
Snapchat-esque design as well. These are not your Ray-Ban designs. These are pretty funky colors. And One thing that people had issues with when you were talking about Google Glass, which was Google's foray into this area, was you didn't really know when somebody was capturing video. These, it looks like, have a little LED circle on each corner of the lens that I think lights up when your video camera is on, so that kind of ooky factor is taken out of it. You know when somebody's actually recording what they're looking at. So I think Snapchat has figured that out. It's interesting also how they're delivering these out of Snapchat vending machines that kind of pop up across the country. So there's no, that I'm aware of, there's no place to order these. You have to stand in line at a kiosk, plunk in your credit card, and out pops one of these glasses. So there aren't a lot of them out there, although I'm sure that's kind of the marketing side of this, just kind of create a demand for them before there is actually enough to get out there and some excitement around them. So I'm sure you'll be seeing them in a neighborhood near you soon. Probably not on my head.
No, you don't go for the teal look, huh?
No, although the teal with the ad there you were showing with the teal lipstick was a nice combo, nice touch.
There you go.
How about you, Sally?
Yeah, happening real soon here, I can just imagine.
So do your kids use Snapchat?
No, my kids are very antisocial. They don't use social media at all and feel that their mother shares plenty for the entire family. So
there you go.
Yeah. So
all right.
We talk in real time.
All right, let's move on to more news, and this is in the area of our beloved Synod. Wells now want to talk about Wells Missions and You, an FIC bonus issue.
Yep, I have a copy right here, and maybe others that are watching and listening today have seen this copy. It's not a normal monthly magazine, but it's rather completely devoted to home and world missions, and campus ministries is thrown in there as well, I believe. And you can just read tons and tons of great articles about all the mission work that's going on all around the world. And one thing that you can do is you can also visit the website. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's on the Wells.net site where they have basically the magazine published online. And you can also on the site request a free copy of the print magazine. So you can check out home missions, campus ministry, world missions, read about missionaries. There's lots and lots of stories posted here from the magazine and information about where missions are starting across the country. Just plenty to check out. They have links to blogs. You can request a speaker for your congregation or event. And there's lots of presentations and images that you can download, information about world missions. They even have a video channel with moments with missionaries, videos available. And then finally, you can get your free bonus issue. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you can request a copy for yourself or even for your congregation if you would like to distribute some. So just an excellent quality publication, a wonderful bonus for us, a gift, and something to be thankful for this Thanksgiving week is our Wells Missions and Use. It's kind of a special report that they've published.
Very nice. The group is in Wells, and Wells Home and World Missions are doing a tremendous job of getting some of this media out there, taking advantage of the, you know, the stuff that's online and social networks and such. And they did a really nice job with this. Very analog approach to sharing the word, but nicely done and definitely worth the read. So take advantage of the free copy.
Yeah. I think the thing with missions work, everybody can be inspired by it if you just hear some of the stories. There are so many amazing stories that are associated with our home and world missions, and this is just a great platform to share those stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Sally, I think it's about that time in the show where we share our picks of the week. What is your pick this week?
Well, my pick of the week is probably a replay. I'm not sure if it was a ministry resource or a pick or both in the past, but it's the Bible app for kids. And unfortunately, I couldn't make my iPhone share on my screen that I'm using currently, but I think just looking at their website will give you a pretty good idea of what you can expect with the Bible app for kids. I remember when they first announced this, we talked about it on the show, Martin, and they only had like Genesis and maybe Noah's Ark, just a couple of stories available in the Bible app. And they're basically kind of cartoon depictions. Kids can tap on things and they'll respond. The story is read to them. They can turn that on or off and read it themselves if they want. And there's this pathway, if you're seeing my screen, that's kind of the main screen where it walks you through the different Bible stories that are available. And I was really surprised revisiting the app that the entire Bible is now complete in the Bible app for kids. So they have stories that go all the way through the Old Testament and New Testament, all the way through Revelation. And you can, like the examples shown on the screen, there's a story of Jesus' birth, of the angels announcing it to the shepherds, of Jesus healing a lame man. This is probably the one that got lowered through the roof when he was speaking. And all of these stories are really fun, but the reason it popped up in my reader this week was because they're adding new games at the end of stories. So oftentimes when you finish a story, there'd be a little question about it or whatever, but now there's supplemental games. So now that they've completed the whole Bible, they're just continuing to enhance the app and add more and more. And so very child-friendly, and many children are using tablets at times, and so this would be a great app for them to have available to them, perhaps in the school setting or certainly at home. And it's the Bible app for kids. It's from the same people who do the Bible, the YouVersion Bible app that's very popular for adults, and they've just really enhanced this Bible app for kids now, very full-featured, and you'd want to check it out.
Very nice. I use the Bible app almost every day, you know, through Bible devotions, and then certainly on Sunday I bring it into Bible class. I'm taking notes there, looking at passages. Very well done. They've done it's kind of a really success story. It grew out of just a congregation who built an app for themselves and ultimately built it for us as well. So,
yep, very well done.
Bible in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Now for kids. All right. My pick of the week is something that is looking forward to the shopping season, which probably has really already started. Black Friday is coming up a couple days. And I wanted to remind everybody about a project that Amazon has made available, a tool that Amazon has made available called Amazon Smile. Amazon Smile is a way for you to make purchases on Amazon and have a portion of the purchase price go to your favorite charity. And Wells has had an account there for a couple years now. And so when I make Amazon purchases, I make sure that I use Amazon Smile. And I have not found a product yet that doesn't qualify. So you can kind of see if you just hover over your supporting organization, which is listed right below the search box, you can see how much you've generated over time. And mine shows $14 that's gone to the Synod with my Amazon purchases. And that number is going to go up over Christmas because that's kind of where I do my shopping at this point. But it's very easy to do that. If you come and you don't have an account or this is blank, you can hit the select an account and then do a search. They give you some of the big ones here, American Red Cross and those kinds of things. But then they also give you an option to pick your own charitable organization. So if you just type in Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Did I spell Lutheran wrong? Probably wants me to capitalize it. And click search. All there are going to be a bunch of Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synods. It's because a lot of our churches are on here and they come up that way. But if you're looking to get the one for the Synod, you need to look for the one that is listed as Waukesha, Wisconsin. And then you just click the select box beside it. If your church wants to be a part of it, you can apply. You have to submit some documentation that you are a nonprofit, etc. Or again, if you just want to give to the Synod, you know, part of your purchase price, this is a very easy thing to do. The whole shopping experience is no different than the regular Amazon. You just go to smile.amazon.com and search, and you'll find your products. There probably are some products that don't qualify, but I haven't stumbled on any of those yet. And then you can give some money to a very worthy charity, of course, if you went through the Smile website portion of Amazon. So just a little purchasing tip. So don't let your purchasing dollars just go to waste. Go to smile.amazon.com and pick your favorite charity.
So I'm just going to tell you, I have signed up, but I'm going to share my screen because while you were doing that, I was checking it out. Let me just do a quick share. And the first thing I did was I went to Amazon.com, which is what my habit is. And I didn't have anything in that area where you were showing that you were supporting the Synod.
Right.
And I am looking for it, and I'm not finding it. And finally, you said go to Smile.com. And if I go to Smile.com, it tells me I'm supporting, but I never remember to do that. So I have to make it the habit. See, I haven't generated any dollars. You're way ahead of me. And I don't like it when you're way ahead of me. I got to get busy and catch up. I need to shop more, don't I?
That's right.
Anyway, the habit that you have to form is instead of just typing Amazon.com, type Smile.Amazon.
There will be times in the buying experience, well, they will remind you, don't you want to use Smile? So if you're, mm-hmm. I think, maybe at the shopping cart stage or you're picking a product or adding it to the cart, it's going to say, hey, you could be doing this. So watch out for that as well. But, yeah, if you don't see that donation slot right below the search bar at the top, then you know you're in the wrong spot. So go to smile.amazon.com to grab that. So.
Okay, good tip.
And there are other things. If you go to ShopWells, you'll see a bunch of other ways that you can donate. Good Shop, we've talked about in the past, is mm-hmm. another way to donate to a particular organization. Gone should be the days where you're just purchasing and giving all the money to the particular vendor that's giving you the product, because you can get a portion of that donated to your charity. So let's move along, Sally, to ministry resources.
Move along. And today we were fortunate to talk to Pastor Andrew Scherer of 364 Days of Thanksgiving, but we realized we did not have his great website on our ministry resources list. So we definitely want to add that as a ministry resource. And in addition, we'll include the links here to his book, his devotional journal, 364 Days of Thanksgiving, available through Northwestern Publishing House, as well as on Amazon. And especially if we try the smile trick, if it works here, because I don't have it up that way right now.
There you go.
So you can get it with a smile, although it says it's out of stock. Wow.
We'd probably prefer to purchase it at NPH and support the Synod.
There you go. That's the way to do it. So we'll have those links in the ministry resource section, and we'll add them, you know, to that popular area. I should jump over there and look at it. Right here in the top title bar, you can see all the ministry resources from 8+, almost 9 years of podcasting, and it's quite a lengthy list. So this is just a fun place to come and check out and browse some of the links that we have available that we've built up over time.
Very nice. Featured video?
We have a video, and it too ties back to an earlier discussion point, and that was the Moments with Missionaries video series that's available for our home and world missions. And we'll feature one from Vancouver, Canada, Pastor Jeff Courtright. Happens to be a classmate of my husband's. He's changed a little over the years, though. I guess we all grow each day. So anyway, Pastor Courtright's doing great outreach work there in Vancouver, British Columbia. Just one of several Moments with the Missionaries videos, and we'll have a link to those in the show notes. So check it out.
Very nice. Sally, we're going to have our Thanksgiving celebrations and eat our turkeys and stuffings and pumpkin pies and pecan pies. And then we're going to come back and we're going to do the show for the 473rd time. And we're going to welcome one of our semi-regular classroom technology correspondents back in for her second go-around with us. Rachel Feld is going to join us, and we're going to be talking about what?
I'm really looking forward to talking about makerspaces. So this is a trend in educational technology where you involve students in designing, creating, iterating some projects, hands-on kind of learning, and definitely tapping into some higher thinking skills. So a neat trend that's happening in education right now. Looking forward to it.
And really enjoyed having Rachel on the first time last month, and she was excited to come back again, and we're excited to have her come back on again. So tune
Definitely.
In for our time with educational technology and Rachel Feld from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. If you want to contribute to the show, once a month we have a community feedback show just dedicated to everything that you've shared with us, asked us about, those kinds of things. Go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Leave a comment there on any of the shows that you'd like. You can send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+. I'm missing a few. Digo.
Instagram,
wherever your social meanderings take you, we're probably there someplace. So leave us a comment, question, suggestion, whatever. We'd love to hear your contributions to the show. Thank you for joining us, and have a very blessed Thanksgiving, and we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.